Welcome to the nara.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen, and we are recording live at Triple U Studios in Nara CBD. What is the nara.org.au podcast? It is a series and collection of stories of the people and characters who make up the fabric of this town of Nara. Today we have Chance Hanlon. Chance is part of the Hanlon Windows family, founded in 1979 in Bomaderry. It's grown into a national manufacturer of aluminium timber windows and doors. Chance is part of the third generation of running the family. He's the second generation. And they're also known for supporting local apprentices, investing in sustainable technology. Besides his business role, he's also a radio presenter on Triple UFM, where we're recording these podcasts from. He hosts the morning show with his daughter, Beck, on Mondays and Thursdays. In 2010, he was the Shoalhaven Business Person of the Year. 2017, Illawarra Business Person of the Year. And Hanlon Windows has won over a dozen national awards. And in 2024, he was the Citizen of the Year for the Shoalhaven for his contributions to the community. That's definitely the biggest rap sheet we've had so far. Chance, thanks. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Baron. And it feels like the podcast is over because you've told everyone about me.
So Chance, I have a funny story for you to relate. I don't know if you know my dad, Peter Hansen, but when we were young, he built like a guest house out the back of our house, beautiful little tree house in the woods. And embossed on all the sliding doors are HHHHHHH. When I was a kid, I thought we were like maybe really rich, or dad had gone to the extra effort to get our surname embossed, like the first letter of our surname embossed on the windows. It wasn't until I was a teenager I figured out that all Hanlon windows have this HHHHHHH printed across them. So,
well, the idea of it was somewhere down the track when you might need to replace the wheels in your sliding door, or the lock might be bung and you're going to need to replace it. We say to people, what's on the glass? It's the little H's. We know it's one of ours.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's we haven't had to replace anything yet, and they're 25 years old, so you're doing something right. So this podcast, what we're doing is we're trying to tell the stories of Nara in a really positive light. And our first question, which we've asked every single guest, is what is the most underrated thing about Nara that people always get wrong?
Well, Nara's sort of a bypass in some ways. And I think ever since the East Street bypass was put in on the highway, Nara sort of died. And one of the things is that the nightlife. We used to have nightlife years ago. But I think one of the special things about what we have today is cafe. The cafe industry is strong. It's a great place to go and have breakfast or lunch. It's very, very good in that way. And we do have some really nice specialty shops. I think people need to understand that they actually are there and they should use them.
Yeah, okay. What is your earliest memory of this town and how did you end up in Nara?
Well, we lived in Balmain in Sydney, and I'm still a Balmain boy through and through, a West Tigers fan. We end up at Shoalhaven Heads. My father had a business in Sydney, sold it, and started selling windows for a brother-in-law of his in Wollongong. And within 12 months, he was reselling. He started his own business and started reselling windows. And that's how it started in 79 out of a two-car garage at Shoalhaven Heads. And from there, we end up leasing a little building on the site of 41 Burlong Road where we are today. And we started making some fly screens and some shower screens to go with the windows and doors that we were reselling. And the business slowly grew from there. The main reason why we moved down here is that my father was a speedway driver and was in a major accident and was unconscious for 5 days. Yeah, right. He lost part of his memory and he come good. But then about 3 weeks after that, my football manager, who was his best friend, had a heart attack and died. He said, that's it, we're packing up, we're going for a sea change. And that's what it was. We moved to Shoalhaven Heads. The business was started. And when I started there was only 5 employees. So I've got to see the place grow, which has been wonderful.
Yeah, so that's 46 years ago.
Yes.
Coming up on 47 years, closing in on 50 years. That's quite an accomplishment.
Well, I finished at Bomaderry High School in 1982, and I spent the last couple of years of my school holidays making fly screens and all that sort of stuff. And I had ambitions to be either a policeman or I was going to work in radio. Yeah. And I did my work experience at 2ST actually at 16 years old, and I was being critiqued, and there was an opportunity there, and my father said, no, you've got to come and work for the family business. So, and that's what I did.
Yeah, it's turned out quite well in the end, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I ended up, it took me about 10 years to fall in with windows and doors, if that makes any sense, because it's like any business. If you're not loving it, then you should go and try something else.
Well, how have you seen the Shoalhaven change over, I mean, that's over the last 45 years? Like, what's changed and what maybe has stayed the same?
I think we've always been a tourist destination. I think we keep on evolving. I was involved in starting the Shoalhaven River Festival with another lady called Lynn Locke, who was running the turf club, the local turf club. And she said, I've got a job for you, but I need a hand. And that's how it started. We ran that for 5 years. It was very successful. And we were very fortunate. We knew a lot of business people that got involved and actually also sponsored it. So that was one of the highlights, I think, when it comes to that. But I think Shoalhaven in general is a fabulous place. That's why we've stayed here. I've had opportunities to go elsewhere, Canberra, Marimbula, places like that to do work. And I've always sort of been grounded here because it's not just the area, but it's the people that live here. I've schooled here. I DJed for many, many years. I taught aerobics for 14 years. I was working three jobs when I was working for my parents. And I've just got to know a lot of people. And I think that's probably helped us in business as well.
So I'm not going to let the aerobics thing slide because I've got it on good authority that there was a period of history, of Nowra's history, where on a certain morning, you would close down Junction Street. And apparently, it was the time when white Reeboks were very popular and you would run aerobics classes in the main street. Is this true or false?
That's true. We would do it once a year. We did it for about 4 years. We actually called it a fundraiser, and we did close the street. We had sponsors like Nowra Toyota even back then. And we would have about 100 people from the gym that would participate. And we raised money for the Autistic Association, and we did that for 4 years. And we had a guy called Greg Pace from 2ST was one of their afternoon announcers, and he would announce all the bits and pieces between songs. And we'd have six or eight instructors for 3 hours nonstop just doing aerobics in the main street. And we had crowds there. It was a good place to be.
Wow. All right. Any of the any of the gyms in Nowra that's hearing this, the torch is there ready to be taken. That sounds like a pretty awesome thing. And as nowra.org.au, we'd get behind it if anyone wants to shut down the main street and run a...
Well, let me just say, we could shut down the main street quite easily back then with council. It was very flexible. These days, I don't know how much paperwork you've got to fill out to try and shut a street down, but it's not that easy.
It is. It isn't. And actually, you bring up an interesting point, because part of what we're trying to do at nowra.org.au is to help with those kind of things, so enable businesses and be the connection point with council. So we've established now a really good relationship and point of contact within council, and we're acting as a conduit back and forth. So it isn't easy, but we have all the plans and everything, and we've done a couple different events. So yeah, that's part of our mission, is to help businesses to do something like that. So yeah, but I've also heard that this might be another rumor, that you were the DJ of many Nowra High discos. Is this true or false?
Well, that is very true. Not just Nowra High School, Bombardary High School, school formals. I used to do all the police citizens, the youth club, the PCYC discos out there, the Blue Light discos, and got to meet all the stars of Blue Heelers, Country Practice, all that sort of stuff back in those days. Hey, and they were really good. Anything where you can have kids off the street and attend a function and have some off-duty police there, it was always a good time.
Yeah. I remember back to my Nowra High disco days, and yeah, really kind of letting loose and getting my first taste of going out after 6 p.m., 7 p.m. It was good times. So.
Well, most weekends I spent either doing someone's wedding or someone's 21st somewhere, or emceeing a function, and they were good days. And some of those days I got home 5 o'clock in the morning, and that's on a Friday night. So Saturday morning I'd be home at 5 and get 2 hours sleep and have to go to work. So
wow. Yeah. Yeah. And Hanlon Windows has still made it through all that, all those long weekends.
It surely has.
I want to talk a little bit more about Hanlon, because obviously it's a big part of the Shoalhaven and a massive part of your life. But you know, how has that evolution, you know, you started with the fly screens, started making your own windows. Talk about the business evolution over the last 48 years.
Well, the business grew quickly through the 80s, and it was an exciting time. But late 80s, come 89 through to 1991, wasn't a very good time. My father was very successful up until then, and then the market just fell away. And I had the team sell his house and put money back into the business to keep the business going, to keep people employed there. Mm. And one of the things we've always strived to is, even through those tough times, even COVID, we've not put people off. We've tried to keep people on, and we've sold assets to put money back into a business and make that what it is. But the success of Hanlon's has been a family business, and Mum and Dad started it, then I was there. And my three kids have been involved now for 13 years, or 13, 12 and 10. And it's been an exciting time. And we've always pledged that we are Australian owned, we're Australian made. So, and all our materials are made here in Australia, be it the aluminium, the glass and locks and all the rest of it. And we put a lot of money back into the local community. And I think that's been key, is that we make money, we put it back into the community. And we've sponsored that many things over the years, and many people would say, yes, you have. And that's just been us, because I think it's really important if people buy and spend money with us, it's important we put it back into the community.
Yeah, and I think that's part of what we're trying to do at nara.org.au too, is to encourage buy local and trade local and really champion local brands, because, you know, not only is it putting money back into the economy, as we know from economics, there's a multiplier effect. You know, you put money back into a local business, that local business employs local people, they buy local things, and it just goes, it goes around and around and around.
So. Well, that's a really important fact you just said there, is that all our subcontractors that we use are all locals. Anything we can't buy local, we'll buy from Wollongong, we have to buy from Sydney. Mm. But otherwise, we try and spend our money local. The first people we pay every month is our locals as well, because when you don't pay a local, they talk about you.
It's true. Has anything changed in the window business? Like, is it new technology? Is there anything that's kind of advancing, or
it's changed totally. Back when I started work, that we made four different things: a sliding window, an awning window, a double hung, and a sliding door. That was it. Today we're making 45 different products. We've gone from single glaze, double glaze, and now we're starting to look at triple glaze. We're not just using aluminium frames, but we're using a thing called thermally broken, where it's two bits of aluminium, really, and with a PVC piece that joins the two together that stops the cold and the heat from transferring through the aluminium section. Timber. We've been making timber windows for 20 years, and timber is very much a part of the energy efficiency of the footprint today. Windows and doors are a 7-star item. We see these star items on our fridges and on our washing machines. Well, we have the same thing now for windows and doors. It's a very different kettle of fish.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, my next question is, what makes Hanlon Windows unique? But I feel like you've kind of answered it. It's like, obviously, you're Australian owned, and you really support and put money back into the community, but also it sounds like you've evolved with the time as well, as like you've continued to improve the products.
Well, I think it's our name, it's our reputation. If we're not doing it right, then we're going to get bagged out somewhere. And Google reviews is a pretty cruel thing sometimes, and I think that sort of makes you keep your socks up. Yeah. And you try a little bit harder.
And you have your name is literally on the product,
it surely is.
It goes out, and I think that's an extra step. You know, whenever the founders' names or the family name is on you have to have some pride in it, or you have to if you're not doing that, your name's on it.
It certainly is.
Is there any advice you would give to someone starting out their own business in Nowra today?
I think very importantly, get involved with the local Chamber of Commerce or business chambers. Really good way to meet new business people, to network, and spread your idea about what you want to try and achieve, because there are many successful people in this town and they've got great ideas. And I've always said, especially when we've had new members come into the business chamber, I've really tried hard to introduce them to certain people. And it doesn't matter if they employed 100 people or they employ 5 people. You'll always learn something from somebody in the business arena.
Yeah, I've certainly had that experience. Like, I grew up here, moved away, and then I've come back and joined the business chamber and amongst other organisations. And there is certainly a very welcoming feeling about being here, and people do want to make those introductions for you. And I've really enjoyed that. Living in New York City previously, and it's very much like dog eat dog. It's like everyone's trying to step on the person to get to the next stage. And coming back to a community, I've found that to be a really important part of my own integration. Yeah.
And I think as a business owner, take little sips. Don't try and grow too quickly. See many grow too quickly, they can't control it, and all of a sudden they've fallen over. And I think the other part would be surround yourself with good people. And that's what I've always done. Because if you've got good people around you, it allows you to step back out of your business and actually work on it and let them do the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah, so you got to the point where you could invest in managers and having people who you trust to do the work, where you can go look at the bigger picture, and you know that's what a good CEO, I don't know if you're a CEO, but CEO does, is they can step aside. And I once heard in business, if a CEO makes one important decision every year, they've done a good job, and that decision can have a big ripple effect for the whole business.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess like a lot of what I've heard from people in small businesses, they're so stuck in the weeds. They're very much stuck in the day-to-day of what needs to be done today, that they never have a chance to take that bigger piece. So, good advice. So we're talking about community, and you've also been really involved with local radio. You know, I've heard about you have your own studio. You've obviously got your own show. You're the person who you have to reach out to if anyone wants to buy some ads on Triple U. Talk to Chance. you know, why is community important, and why is community radio important?
Let me just start with the community. My community work started out as a volunteer lifesaver for 10 years at Shallowhaven Heads. And at the same time, I was heavily involved with basketball. I was with Shallowhaven Basketball, played representative basketball, and I was involved with Shallowhaven Basketball for 40 years. And then when we tried to get this radio station off the ground as well, I was involved in fundraising and the test broadcasts up at Red Rock Hill in the middle of the winter, freezing our nuts off, excuse the French. But we got there when we got this radio station started. And I always said I wanted to give back to the community in different facets, and be it through radio, be it through emceeing, be it through the basketball. They are the things that have been really choice for me. And then I got involved with the River Festival, and I got involved with the Business Chamber. I've been a president and vice president, and so it goes on. And it's just been a really nice way to give back. I think you shouldn't lose sight sometimes in business. It's if you can find the time, give back. It might be through Toastmasters. It might be through the local RFS. You might be a Navy cadet or a reserve or a, you know, whatever. But I think it's mentally really good for you to step back out of your business and do something on the side. But community for me is just been number one. If someone asks if are you available to do something, and it could be anything, then I'll try and get there.
Like a podcast.
Well, I'm here. Stars of Nara, which is the Cancer Council, been going for 10 years, been involved in that. And Beck and I have been emceeing that function now for 7 years. And we do that free of charge. And there's a lot of hours that go into helping the Cancer Council achieve, you know, the $200,000 or $300,000 that they raise every year out of this area for cancer.
Yeah. And I think, like, the proof's in the pudding in a way is like, well, look at the success of your business, and then, you know, you're in some many ways paying it forward by the community, but the community is also helping you and paying you back as well. And I think they go like hand in hand. And I think when people get so focused on their business, they forget about that wider community piece. It's like, that's how we, you know, find customers. That's how we get good deals. That's how we find great staff as well, is by being involved in the community. And Yeah, I didn't know your involvement with the basketball, but that's it's an incredible organisation that's going strong and continuing to grow as well.
Yeah, I'm a life member of Shoalhaven Basketball, which happened about 3 years ago, and it was nice to be recognised for the contribution because when we had state league games over there, I used to compare those games during the play of game and did that for many, many years, as long as being a past president over there. And my kids have been involved, and my other daughter, Madison, has been a president, and she was one of the ones going from the old building to the new indoor sports stadium and trying to move all that across, which was an extremely difficult thing, and they achieved it. So,
It's been cool to see how the Shoalhaven continues to evolve in those ways. And I think like the sporting complex in Bomaderry is a really good example of that, with Artie Smith and the basketball stadium and all working together. You know, it's really exciting to see that progress, right?
Well, there's been many, especially that indoor sports stadium, people like John Martin, Ralph Cook, John Kennedy, and me a little bit, but there's been a stalwart of people working on that for over probably 30 years to make that happen. And when it did, it was awesome, but it's not big enough now. That's the problem.
Good problem to have. In terms of community radio too, so Triple U, we're here at the studios right now recording from Triple U, and you obviously that's important to you that you do that and be part of that. Why is community radio important?
I found there was a void in our radio world here in the local area. Found that the local commercial station wasn't covering stuff for the community as well as what they should. I felt that that we could make a difference by doing a show. And it's funny, a couple of guys that retired from 2ST and approached me and said, we're going to do a show on Triple U called the Shoalhaven F&B Show, and which was Barry McCaffrey and Graham French. Graham was the newsreader for 32 years at 2ST, and they said, well, you do all the voiceover work because I've got a voiceover business. I said, yeah, sure, and with your sponsor. I said, yep, yeah, no worries at all. And we started doing that show here in the studio next door, and within 12 months, we had a lot of business people knocking on the door to sponsor that show, and it was successful. Graham was a mad train person and wanted to go away, and I ended up jumping in and filling in the spot for him with Barry, and he came back and said, we want you to stay on, so I did, and they renamed the show the CBF Show, and we did that for another 18 months, and it was good for the station, it was good for the local area, a good talkback show, and I just ended up, I was asked to see if I wanted to do a breakfast show, so I started out with one breakfast show, and then the second breakfast show came along, and I said to Beck, I said, why don't you do breakfast with me? So she lives at Albion Park, so she's very dedicated with two young boys to get down here in the last couple of years and still make that show happen. So, we're doing the community stuff that other stations probably should have been covering, but it doesn't bring money in for them. But at least we're trying to help out all those little community groups.
Yeah, and I think that is reflected back by people who tune into this radio station deeply also care about community as well, and that works hand in hand. And it's also beautiful that you've been able to maintain that relationship with your daughter and that have that doing that together, and family business, and you've obviously family values are important to you as well, and that goes hand in hand with community.
Yeah, it certainly does, and my wife and my three kids are all very much that way. If they can give a hand to somebody, they will. And as I said, everyone's got their strengths and weaknesses, and we all apply those accordingly. So
yeah, and that's community.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Has there been a moment in Nowra that has left a lasting positive impression for you?
Oh, Barrett, I think there's numerous things that have gobsmacked me sometimes, but I think. Yeah, those things just we used to have a spring festival in through the streets of Nowra, and that's where the Shoalhaven River Festival really took off after that, because that died, and then the idea was floated, but someone had to put their hand up, and that's where Lynn and I put our hand up, and we found a really good group of people. My wife was included in that, and actually it became a very social group as well, and we got that thing going for 5 years, and it started on a Friday and finished on a Sunday afternoon. So big event, $100,000 worth of sponsorship to be able to run it, which was a lot of money, but successful. we said we've done our 5 years, and we walked away. And I think one of the other things that I've really, as an accolade, was the Citizen of the Year back in 2024, just being recognised for some of the work that I've done in the community. And you know, it's not because I had to, it's because I wanted to, and more so for this radio station too. So there's some good people in this radio station, and they're all good volunteers.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, the Riverfest, I don't think I was here, I wasn't living here when it was happening, but my mum and dad certainly really enjoyed being part of it. And what I feel like the Riverfest may have done is paved the way for inspiring people to just remind us like how great that area is down there. And when we look back in 10 years, 20 years, when that Riverfront Precinct project gets going, it's like things like the Riverfront, creating that awareness around just how amazing that Shoalhaven River is, would have been laid the groundwork for that.
There's a lot of infrastructure we've now got in place down there. We've got all the power all the way up the street, up Scenic Drive now, and for all those different food trucks and other things that might turn up there eventually when it gets going again. And the other part was the pontoons. The pontoons that sit down by the Narra Wharf right now, there's a few or more of those in storage. You can just drop those in the water and create a fantastic walkway and have boats tied up to it. And
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah. What do you hope Narra feels like in 10 years?
Look, I really hope that we've got some decent corporate shopping back here in the town. We've lost a bit over the years. And I know council's talking to some big wigs at the moment, like tier one type developers. That's want to do some really nice things in the town, and not just create the shopping, but they want to create restaurants and cafes, more cafes, and they want to put some high-rise apartments in as well. And that's what we need. If Narra's ever going to survive, we need people living in the middle of the CBD.
Yeah.
And I think the state government, they realise that too. So the planning is starting to change for our CBD, which is just finally starting to happen. Should have happened 10 years ago, but it's now finally happening now. And I think the other thing that we're missing in our town is restaurants. You go to Huskisson, you can go to two dozen different restaurants out there, and they're all pretty good. And put on there, we've got some restaurants, but we don't have restaurants, especially on the river.
Yeah, I think it's a an exciting time to even being part of this state government project, the narra.org.au, part of the Uptown Accelerator project, and them teaching us how to build the brand and how to build the community organisation that can support when businesses are coming in, and advocate as well for local businesses. And when things start to happen and those developments start to happen, hopefully that will be a voice in those meetings. And the development, I believe that's the way forward too, is density of population in the centre, or supporting those businesses so the restaurants can stay open, and then people showing up as well. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, it'd be nice to have, but we need people to go and...
I think from a planning point of view, some one-way streets, making the footpaths wider, allowing some of the cafes and restaurants to spread themselves a little bit. And finally, I think we need to see some nightlife for the young ones. I just, back in my day, we had the Narra Bombardier Lees Club, the Exervos, which I had a disco there. I started the first club upstairs at the Archer, which was called Simos, and then Silhouettes, and then it was Legends, and so went on. We had lots of options back in those days. We don't have those options now.
Yeah.
And I think because of there could be a little bit of drama with some of that nightlife, but we've got to change that mentality. We've got to change that image, and we've also got to have club directors and stuff that's saying, okay, we're going to give this a go, because I feel like young people are missing out. I think there's a lot of young people that go to Wollongong, they go to Shell Harbour, and that's escape spending as well. We want the young people to spend their money here.
Yeah. Well, if we get it going, will you come DJ?
Hey, you never know. You never know.
Yeah, that was a maybe, ladies and gentlemen. That was a maybe. Who is one Narra person that you would love to hear their story on this podcast?
someone that's been really successful, and he sort of says to us, well, you're my mentor, but someone that's done really well out of it is Peter Russell, Integrity Real Estate. And I know there's a certain volunteer at Triple U that taught him at school and had a bit of an influence on him back in his time. But there's people like Peter Russell that have really shaped the style of real estate that we have in the Shoalhaven. And not just sell real estate, he's actually developed it and he's done his own thing as well. And he's got a really good story to tell.
Yeah. And I think, Pete, if you're listening, you know, your name of your business represents integrity. And I think that's how he's showed up over the years and been a great community member as well.
So. I think the way he's introduced different people to his business and also give them some ownership has been really special, the way that's happened. And I think there's a good story in that.
Cool. All right. Pete, season two, you're coming on. Last question, Chance. Is there any asks of the people of Nowra?
What do you mean by that question?
Well, is there anything that, I mean, you already have a lot of airtime on the radio, so you have a platform in which you can ask people for things. I think that question to me means, like, is there anything that you would like the Nowra, people of Nowra to do or to contribute or to be part of? Or
I think the biggest thing, Darren, would be is people need to leave social media alone, and instead of talking about it on social media, do something about it.
Yep.
There's a lot of people out there, and I hate to use the term, but they're called keyboard warriors. They need to get off the keyboard and actually join an organization or go to a meeting and saying, how can I help? How can I make a difference? If we get more people like that, and be it volunteers or be it paid or whatever, then I think Shoalhaven and think Nowra would be a far better place.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that, you know, getting out and doing things and being part of the community is also so good for our mental health and the community as a whole. And that's what community is for. It's there to support each other. So yeah,
absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks, Chance. Great to have you on.
Nice to be in. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Nowra.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen. We're recording in Triple U Studios in Nowra CBD. It's a community radio station. Our producer here is Paul Murphy. Nowra.org.au is funded by the New South Wales Government Uptown Accelerator Program. If you'd like more information, visit nowra.org.au or follow us on socials, subscribe to the mailing list. See you next time.